Guerrero v. Holder. Mr. Miller.
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Robert Mia and I represent Dionisio Guerrero. Your Honors, the issue before the Court today is to decide if it finds compelling reason to reconsider its position in Canto v. Holder. In that case, the Court found that it was permissible to retroactively apply the repeal of Section 212C relief under the INA, the Immigration and Nationality Act, to permanent residents who proceeded to trial and then waived their right to appeal when 212C relief was available. This Court applies a compelling reason standard to overturn circuit precedent. However, the Supreme Court has recognized that when governing decisions are unworkable or are badly reasoned, this Court, the Supreme Court, has never felt constrained to follow precedent. Further, it states that stare decisis is not an inexorable command. Rather, it's a principle of policy and not a mechanical formula of simply following the most recent decision. Mr. Guerrero urges that this Court reconsider its position because applying the repeal of 212C in this case runs afoul of the Court's responsibility and duty to ensure that absent Congress's clear intent to apply a statute retroactively, new legislation should not be applied to create an impermissibly retroactive effect. The Supreme Court's duty, as outlined during its retroactive analysis in Landgraf and St. Cyr, states clearly that it must render a common sense functional judgment about whether the new provision attaches new legal consequences to events completed before its enactment. And the Court must adhere to familiar considerations of fair notice, reasonable reliance, and settled expectations. In this situation where 212C has been repealed, after the fact of deciding, do I waive appeal or do I challenge the conviction, essentially you have pulled the rug from underneath the defendant's position. And you have basically created new legal consequences and increased liabilities that are then given to past considerations and transactions. And that is the precise definition of an impermissible retroactive legislation under the Supreme Court. The effect of the repeal is one where you're creating for Mr. Guerrero and his class an obvious and severe retroactive effect. Having factored the availability of 212C into his decision to proceed to trial and then to waive appeal, what you're doing is creating a situation where he relies on 212C relief, and that's possible deportation, but you've created now a situation where it's certain deportation. And that transition from possible deportation to certain deportation is at the crux of the case in St. Cyr. The Court in that case concluded, because respondent and other aliens like him almost certainly relied upon the likelihood of this change from possible to certain deportation when deciding their right to go to trial or not, the elimination of any possibility of 212C relief creates an obvious and severe retroactive effect. That's the danger expressed in St. Cyr. That's actually echoed in this Court's decision in Canto, one of abandoning a benefit or a legal right when facing the possibility, okay, is 212C relief available to me? And that's precisely what's happened in this case. The Court's concern in Canto is with reasonable reliance and foregoing a legal right, and that's precisely what happened here. If you look at the situation with Mr. Guerrero, following his conviction,
St. Cyr involved a safe harbor kind of a situation, and that's just not present in a case where a defendant pleads not guilty, takes the case to trial, is convicted, and decides not to appeal. There isn't any safe harbor issue there.
Regarding safe harbor meaning?
Meaning that the defendants in the category of the St. Cyr defendant entered a guilty plea and pursuant to plea negotiations that called for a sentence of less than the amount that would have brought them into the deportation net, so to speak.
Right.
And so they elected to plead guilty to get themselves into a safe harbor to avoid the deportation net.
Yes.
That's the fact pattern of St. Cyr. That's the concern of the court in St. Cyr. That just isn't present here.
You're right.
And that was the thrust of the Cantu opinion.
You're right. It's not in this case. But it was in St. Cyr where there's this quid pro quo arrangement where you agree
to plead
guilty.
And unless you're sufficiently analogous to that, then there isn't any sound argument here to be made for similar treatment.
Looking at St. Cyr, those are the facts specific to that case. But at the heart of St. Cyr is not the actual choice made, but the fact that you have 212C available and you make some choice that affects that availability. It's not the precise choice that's made. And that's the position in other circuits, which this court may find or may not find persuasive. In the Third Circuit, that's what they're looking at. It's not that this particular choice has to be made. St. Cyr in no way ever says that in order to find impermissible retroactive effect, that you must have a quid pro quo kind of an arrangement. That's just particular to the facts of that situation. But the true meat of that decision is about having this reasonable reliance on the availability of a statutory right, and then all of a sudden it's taken away after you've made a choice that affects that right. That's what's at issue here, is this reasonable reliance, and that's what Cantu also points to.
Explain that in this circumstance. What was this petitioner relying on?
Yes. Your Honor, in this situation, he proceeds to trial with the understanding that 212C relief is available.
No, it's not available if he gets convicted and gets a sentence in excess of the maximum that provides the safe harbor. He's not relying on anything.
At the point of the charge brought against him and at the point of going to trial, 212C relief was available to someone with multiple aggravated felony convictions. The repeals and the restrictions occur after his conviction. So when he proceeds to trial, it's available to him. At the point of his conviction, he only gets 2 years of probation. 212C is still available to him. At that point, he sits there and he thinks, now I have a decision. Do I challenge this one conviction as I challenge successfully one of the two counts against me? Or do I forego appeal because I can trust that the law is there for me in the form of 212C relief? That's his reliability. And it's very reasonable for him to have relied on that. The Supreme Court itself points to the fact that immigrant defendants are acutely aware of immigration consequences of their decisions. And in fact, if you look at the statistics, more than 50% of 212C cases were being approved. So if this court, as it's accepted in Cantu and its previous decisions, acknowledges that immigrants are acutely aware at the point of a plea agreement or guilty plea context, how is it that a person, an immigrant, all of a sudden is not knowledgeable of immigration consequences at the point of appeal, of deciding, I have 212C, do I appeal or not? The knowledge of immigration does not just miraculously dissipate after deciding to proceed to trial. It still exists. And that reasonable reliance is there. And this court, through the Honorable Judge Rovner, in her concurring opinion of De Orta-Garcia, she points to the possibility that even if the resident alien in that case, who in that situation actually, unfortunately for him, he pleaded guilty after the repeal, so it did not apply to him. But she even states that had he opted for a speedy trial, it's very reasonable to believe that he would have considered the availability of 212C relief in making that decision. It doesn't have to be the overriding factor, but it has to be factored into it. And in this situation, it's very reasonable to believe that he, Mr. Guerrero, and his class of resident aliens would have factored into their analysis this 212C availability. Your Honors, the danger of not allowing Mr. Guerrero and his class to actually have 212C made available to them is that we run afoul of the very foundational basis of having laws, that you have a law to understand what the rule is and how you can act accordingly. The Supreme Court in Landgraf says that when you conduct these retroactive analysis of legislation, you have to consider elementary considerations of fairness, which dictate that individuals should have an opportunity to know what the law is and conform their conduct accordingly. In this situation, you're taking that away from resident aliens in this class. If you fail to reconsider the position of this court You're failing Mr. Guerrero and his residents and his class of actually knowing the law at the time of making a decision and acting accordingly. I see that I've run in time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Samir. Ms. Petty?
May it please the Court, Aaron Petty on behalf of the Attorney General. This petition for review concerns one question of law, whether an alien who was convicted after a trial and then decided not to appeal is eligible to seek a waiver of inadmissibility under former INA Section 212C in accordance with the Supreme Court's decision in INS v. St. Cyr. The Court has already answered this question, and the answer was no. The Court should therefore deny the petition for review. Less than a year ago, in Canto v. Holder, the Court held that aliens who decided not to appeal their convictions after trials did not remain eligible for 212C relief. Canto, which considered and rejected the approaches taken by some other circuits, is in all material respects identical to this case and therefore controls the outcome. I don't believe this panel is empowered to overrule the decision of an earlier panel. Moreover, because Guerrero failed to address Canto until his reply brief, any arguments that he's made concerning that decision in particular are forfeited. The Board relied on Canto in its decision, and Guerrero could have, but failed to, challenge or distinguish that decision in his opening brief. Because the relief Guerrero seeks is foreclosed by circuit precedent, and because he's forfeited his challenge to challenge that precedent, the Court should deny the petition, unless the Court has any questions. I do have one correction to make. At page 6 of the red brief, I wrote that Guerrero was convicted after a jury trial. The record is actually unclear on whether it was a jury or a bench trial, but it makes no difference.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Petty. Samir?
Two quick points, Your Honors. In the opening brief for appellant, we do address the precedent decisions stemming back to De Garcia and Montenegro and this position of the Seventh Circuit. However, with particular focus now on stare decisis, and that seems to be what the respondent anchors their entire argument on, if you look at the principle of stare decisis in the Supreme Court in Payne v. Tennessee, what are they really concerned about is promoting predictability, reliance on decisions, and the integrity of the judicial process. Reliability, predictability, and integrity. That's precisely why we should allow Mr. Guerrero and his class to rely on the law as it stood when he made his decision. And to do otherwise, to take away that, is to take away the relief that he had under the law as it existed with his reliance.
Did his offense carry a possible sentence of more than 5 years? I take it that it did.
As a felony, yes.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Samir. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.